This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Cynthia. All right. Let's head down south. Let's go to Corpus Christi, Texas now, and let's strike up a conversation with Captain Cliff Webb. I don't think that'll be too hard to do. Cliff, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm so much better than last week, I tell you, buddy. Man, last week I was tearing up all my equipment and pulling out teeth, so this is a lot better.
Man, pulling teeth and catching trout. That's nasty.
Oh, my God, I broke that tooth. Had to have it pulled right in the middle of all my fishing trips, you know. You just don't cancel your trip. You just pull it and go.
That's it. That's all you can do, brother.
Anyway, so it's been a really good week, Mickey. We've had a lot of fish come in from the Gulf. This whole week is just the influx of fish is incredible, what's coming into our bay system.
Awesome.
I had a couple this week that's fished me for 35 years, and they always book three or four trips in a row, and they booked me all week. And there's a couple in man, that was just fantastic fishermen. They fish all over the world, and they just do it. You know, they fish with guys all over, everywhere. And
right.
So you pretty much just get in the water and just let them go, you know. So we'll pull out of the marine at daylight, and I'm going to run down south, and I'm getting there, and the birds, it's not even hardly daylight, and there's just birds all over the water, these fish coming in from the Gulf. And so I said, let's just do a test drift and see what's in here and just see how big these fish are. That first drift, the fish were 19 to 23 inches, Mickey, under the birds.
Goodness.
Like, what?
That's awesome.
I mean, you just don't see that. And then as the light come up, there was more and more pods of birds and schools of fish and just all over the place. But the big flocks of birds were mostly skipjack and small trout. Mm. And if you get way upwind and say knee-deep water, waist-deep water, and work these smaller flocks of birds that got the big fish in them. And with these high winds, what's happening, we finally figured this out. So you come up behind these birds and drop your totem more down, try to line up with them. You have a shift right and left and try to line up them. And then it's blowing real hard. I'm having to throw out two 36-inch drift anchors when I get in there to slow them down to stay in the fish, and they'll shift right and left. So I pull in there and I catch four or five really good fish, and they're eating the shrimp and they're just throwing up stuff. It's just slicking everywhere, you know, and I get out of them. So, and the birds are shut down. And when the birds sit in the water, Mickey, the wind was blowing so hard, the birds would blow 1,000 yards off the fish before the fish came back up. And it would make you come in and make too short of drift behind them. You would come in and you wouldn't be far enough back to catch fish. I finally figured out I was going back 1,000 yards, and one bird would come off the water and come into the wind and look and see those fish were up and come back and sit down. And then that bird would go up and sit, and she'd stay and hover, and here comes the other birds. It was just amazing how they send that scout out and how they do. And then when I would get into those fish up shallow, I would double power pole down and just wear them out. And then they move right or left. I quit using the drift anchors and was able to shift right or left by not having to pull up the drift anchors. And it kept me on the bigger fish. But all those bigger fish were shallow. They were in waist-deep water or less. But, man, the numbers of fish coming in is just amazing. And we chased birds 3 days straight. They said, look, I know you're all about those big trout, but 19 to 20, we caught some 25-inch fish you know, it's just, and it's a no-brainer. I said, you know, this is good fishing, guys. We can go on down farther south and pile out in the cove and try to catch some fish on topwater stuff is great. But, you know, we're catching 150 fish a day on the first, you know, it's kind of hard to pull out that one of the fish every cast. So
yeah, it is, especially after the lean times we've been through, you know, since the freeze
God
and everything.
I was listening to guys talk about shrimp. It's the same thing here. There are shrimp everywhere. It is just amazing. If you run before daylight and you turn your spotlight on, it's just solid red eyes and down the intercoastal. Just amazing amount of shrimp. And our surf fishing is really popping. I've been fishing the surf and surfing. I surfed the last couple of days. The water looks like South Padre, just super, super green and clear and just ice blue awesome. Stuff. And all the jacks are coming in. And my buddy got a 33-inch snook yesterday on a fly rod off the jetties, a monster.
Oh, awesome.
Just so good. That's a guy that fishes every day with that fly rod, Bobby. He walks up and down, Bob walks up and down that jetty with his dogs and wife every day. And he casts and casts and casts. And about every 30, 40 days, he gets a good fish, a tarpon or something. But, you know, that's dedication right there, buddy. He does that all year long. You know, that's what he likes to do.
Yep.
He's definitely not a number man. He's definitely not a number man, you know?
No. That's good for him. He's having fun doing it, and then pop a fish like that.
Yeah.
It's worth the effort.
Oh, I know.
No doubt.
And I got up yesterday trying to catch a snook, so I had Friday off. Finally, just wore out. I said, man, stay in bed. Of course, I can't stay in bed. 4 o'clock comes, I pop up, and I'm in the truck going to the beach fishing. So I walk down those rocks. I catch one snook, you know, one small snook. But I get a killer grand slam. I get trout, snook, and flounder. That was a pretty good and a redfish.
Oh, yeah.
I caught them all yesterday, you know. So I kept the flounder to eat and threw everything else back.
Yeah, I was fixing to ask you, you didn't take that old flounder home and eat it, did you?
No, I caught two. The second one was 19 inches. I said, look, man, I'm taking this baby home. And I scaled him whole and, you know, everything, and then scored him and fried him whole. Oh, that's just wrong.
Oh, man.
So good. Anyway, it's been a much better week and all healed up from all my injuries, licking my wounds, and back to work. I'm trying to make up everything that I tore up last week. I'm trying to recover.
I'm with you. I have those.
You know how it is when you're God, you tear up stuff. Yeah. Yeah, you tear up stuff and you try to fix it the rest of the month, and you at the end of the month you break even.
Life of a guide, huh?
That's it, buddy. That's
I know
it,
as
man.
Long as you've been doing it, that's part
God
of
the
way of life.
You know, we got the big rodeo down here. Of course, you've seen that, the giant rodeo down here right now. It's just crazy with all the bull riders and stuff down here. It's just amazing.
Really? I didn't know there was a rodeo in Corpus.
Yeah, I got a big deal going on down here right now. And they got a girl. She's trying to rope for $1 million. And I think she got second place. I think she got third yet or something. I haven't read up on it. I'm going to look at it online today, but. Tracy Webb's her name, and she was trying to rope for $1 million. I think she ropes a calf in like 2 seconds or something. It's pretty amazing.
Goodness.
And I tell you what, I watch those bull riders. I tell you what, dude, those are some tough dudes right there. God almighty.
Well, tough and crazy. Man.
Yeah.
That takes special kind of mentality and breed there to do that.
I've been around those guys too, man.
You know, that make really good bull riders. They can do it.
I had my first experience with one of those guys about 10 years ago in Mexico with Chicano. He was a Mexican bull rider from Guadalajara, and he came to fish with us. You ain't never seen a tougher individual in your life. He was just bad at the bone. Ain't nothing scared that guy. You know,
old
just
boy
one
had
of
some
deals.
Hard bark on him, huh?
he had a broken nose, and all these fingers were all bent, went to one side, you know, where he got caught in a rope. And,
good Lord.
You know, it's just amazing how tough he was. But that's a heck of a sport right there, buddy.
Yeah, and man, the pay ain't that good.
You know, I look at him and the golfers. Let me think about this. Do I want to be a bull rider or a golfer?
I'll go with golf.
Which one you think has less impact on you? I think I'd swing that club.
Well, those golfers, man, you talk about some bad backs later on in life. I'm noticing that.
I actually got to fish with some of your guys. You sent down there chipping those guys that the professional golfers that I get to fish with, and they're right because they tell me that too. It's the lower back that finally gets you. But riding around in these boats ain't too good for you. either, Mickey, you know?
Well, that's true.
I looked at this boat yesterday at the marina. It's got all them shock absorbers in the seat. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't.
It's just wrong. It's just wrong, Mickey. So it's got this $130,000 boat, got every bell and whistle on it. And the seats have a shock absorber, so when you hit a wave, it just cushions you when you go over the waves. They're $3,500 for a set of them. And, I mean, everybody's putting them on their boats down here. It's nuts. But you can run wide open through the two-foot chop, and you can, you know, drink a Coke in your chair. It's nuts.
Well, so, man, $3,500, huh?
Yeah, for two of them. I was thinking about it, and I said, you know what? You know, I think I'm just going to go ahead and beat it up a little longer. Oh, almighty.
Yeah, that's strong.
Yeah, but it's been enough on TT.
I've had days out there I wish I had them. Man.
Oh, my God.
And you'd be glad to pay that.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of the newer offshore boats are putting them in there. Because that is really something. Those seats, I said in a minute, is just incredible. Those guys said they can run wide open in these tournaments and go across the bay and it doesn't hurt them, you know. So,
well, that's pretty good.
Pretty something. Yeah, yeah.
I'm good with that.
And yeah, and the new storage and stuff in these boats. I'm looking how they got these new rod lockers in the floor. Have you seen what they're doing?
Uh-uh.
They got a waterproof hatch right in front of your front ice chest that opens up toward the bow of the boat, and those rods slip up under there in a waterproof tube, and you close the hatch down, it seals and it's waterproof, so it takes all the rods off your console from doing 90 miles an hour. You know, this they don't do well.
These guys are
now at warp speed. So
well, and
you know,
you see these people going fishing, and they got all their rods standing up in their boat, pulling down the highway 70 miles an hour, beating
with
their rods
bobbers
up.
On. With their bobbers on.
There's nothing worse than seeing weights bouncing off that graphite weight. And just, you know, and they
I
go,
like that
man,
little weight.
Rods
bang, bang,
no
bang,
good.
Bang, gets that rod. Yeah. Like, oh, man. And the other one is when they put them in the front of the truck with all their nice clean reels and they drop them down to Big Shell in front of the truck and they just soak those reels full of sand. I mean, are you serious?
Oh, I know it.
Oh, that's just nuts. You get down there and go, oh, my reel's all gritty. You think? Put them inside the truck.
Yeah. You know? That's what I do. Hey, let me knock this break out. I'll be right back, Cliff. Hang on.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
From the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 6:20 here in the Bayou City. Time has flown by. I'm an hour off already. But anyway, let's go back to Corpus and talk some more with Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we're back, buddy.
All right, man. I sit there thinking how much I love the month of May because usually the wind will die down and we get to do some sight casting. Mm-hmm. You know, and back in the day, that's pretty much what we did. All the month away is May is walk around and look for big trout up in the shallow water. And the big thing that's changed so much is we don't have near as many of them. We have a lot of traffic with the shallow boats running up and down the shores.
Right.
You know, back in the day, there was very few boats that came shallow, you know.
Sure.
Not many people had scooters, and, you know, it was a giant bay, so crossing one of them was unusual. Now, you know, you really got to pace yourself with the guys burning the shoreline. The good thing is a lot of them are waiting until, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock where they can see the fish.
And yeah, so they want that sun up good where they can see better.
And that is one of the keys to sight casting big fish is to be able to indicate what a redfish wake is and what a trout wake is. Because in the morning, you cannot see these fish, and you're up on shallow sand right at daylight, and you're pushing, and you don't want to throw at a redfish wake because you throw at a redfish wake, and you hook that mud ape, he's going to blow every trout out of there.
Yeah, he is.
You know, so he is. And so I walk real slow, and I push awake, and I wait to see that fish that pumps his tail one time and glides. That's your big trout. When you see those double, triple pumpers, boop, 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 across, that's a redfish leaving out of there.
Right.
And so I walk up there, and I try to burn those bottom feeders out of there. Then I walk up and try to get the slider, you know, try to feed her slide out of there and try to get in front of her. And then when she stops, is trying to figure out where she is. That's the cool thing. So she pulled out there and stopped. Now, you lay your line over the back of her, she's going to blow out of there.
Oh,
you throw a lead head on her, she's going to blow out of there. So I'm using a 1/16 ounce, usually a swim bait, something real small. And I'm really trying to pay attention when she stopped to throw in front of that wake immediately and get my cast in then. And then the next time I push her, I'm going to do it. But it's funny how I watched McElroy and Chatter Allen, all these old guys, they pushed wakes in the morning before daylight. It wasn't about actually seeing the fish a lot of time. It was about actually identifying the right type of wake.
Right.
You know, a drum makes a big slow wake, a big, just a constant pull, you know. In those redfish, boop, 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 they bump, and the trout is a big pump of tail and it slides off. You know, so that's what's really fun is just trying to figure all that stuff up before daylight and hope you don't get burned out of there. But I got some clients next week that that's what they do. And, man, I'm looking forward to next week because we're going to be up shallow in that shin-deep water looking for those big fish. And even though we don't have those monsters, we still got some 5 and 6 pounders. They're still fun to catch up there,
that's
Mickey.
Good,
and, hey, you'll
solid
see a big
fish, man.
Yeah. You know? But I think that's
what
this,
month was
so nice.
It, that Blackwood caught his fish, you know, that old state record. It was May, wasn't it?
Yeah, in May.
I thought it was. Yeah. That's why I asked you, because I know Wallace caught his in February. But
I talk to all the Bosky brothers, all the big guys that do that stalk the big trout. May is one of their favorite months, especially back in Alazan. We used to go back in Alazan before it just got crazy back there all month of May and get back in those sloughs and spot cast those big fish. But now you turn a corner in one of those sloughs, at 5:30 in the morning, you see headlamps. People back there already back in there with their headlamps back there fishing. So it's just hard. So what I'm trying to do, like I told you before, I'm trying to pick out heavy structure areas where people just don't want to go. The fish don't mind going in there, and your chances of getting them out are slim because of the structure. But, man, the bigger ones are in there, Mickey. And I'd rather have a chance at something like that than catch a 5 or 6 pounder on white sand. I'd rather see an 8-10 pounder up there in that rock and have a shot at her. You know, I had that one really big fish on about a month ago now that was unbelievable up there in that shallow stuff. Never was in the game. I never could get on top of that fish to get her out of that rock. She was too tough, but I knew what I was dealing with. And I know there's still some in there, but and you got to have the right people. You need to tell people you we're going to walk through hell's half acre. Yeah. Okay, buddy, you're gonna walk about 5 feet, and you're going to crab walk sideways around this rock. You're going to crab walk around it. You're going to slip through there. Don't bump nothing. You catch a big fish, you're probably not going to get her. You tell somebody that, and they go, what? Anyway, it takes the people that's been doing it before. But it's a time of year where everything's wide open. We got birds. We got drop-off fishing. Drift fishing's good. So, and I look at all the guys in the marina are just fishing the tourist, Mickey, and most of them are using shrimp. Hardly any of them are using croaker because the shrimp. There's so many shrimp in the system right now, and the shrimp fishing is so good and much cheaper than the croakers.
Well, it's hard to substantiate spending that kind of money for croaker to catch 3 trout, you know?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what's going on. You know, they had a tournament here a few weeks ago. A guy paid a guy $500 to go get him $1,500 worth of croakers from Louisiana for the tournament. They got all the croaker down here. Pay the guy $500 to go get them, and they died the night before.
Oh, I heard that story.
Dude, got $2,000 into his bait before the tournament, and he didn't have anything to play with. Darn, man. That's a tough one there.
Yeah, it is. That'd just be hard to swallow to catch three slimy old wormy trout.
You know, I was talking to Chad this week, and that last tournament was, I think there was 60-something boats entered, and nobody caught a fish over 6 pounds. That lets you know how much our top end was devastated. You know, I'm seeing very few fish, 5 3/4, 6 pounds of stud, 27-inch fish you stop and take a picture of. You know, so that's what's here. But, hey, man, just think what they'll be next year.
That's it. You got to let them – if you let them live, let them get through the system, you'll have big fish. I mean, that's just part of it.
Yeah, and that's what – we have a lot of people letting them go.
Catch fish up here, somebody wants to keep some, we don't keep anything. You know, if it's 4 pounds or bigger, we let it go. I mean, why bother?
Yeah,
you
our
know,
things are 23
fish
inches
are better
see?
To eat anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, our slot 17 to 23, and that's the tough game. You know, I can't tell you how many 24-inch trout. You know, again, those fish are 23.5, 24-inch trout. I'm glad they're letting them go. And very few of my people keep fish, but I have a couple, you know, like this week, they wanted to keep three fish to eat, to take to the restaurant here and have them cooked.
Sure.
And so on Tuesday, we kept three 17.5-inch trout that were gut hooked. And when I'm under the barge, I'm crimping barbs down. It's amazing the difference. So you just crimp, I got a certain set of lead heads I use, and I'll just crimp the bar down just a little bit. And so that way it doesn't rip them out when you're trying to get them out. You take a pair of pliers, I use my Danco's, I reach down there, pop it out, it doesn't rip their gills or rip the back of their throat, and they're okay. And then it makes you a better fisherman. I tell people, look, it teaches you to keep the tension on the fish. I mean, the fish is jumping.
As long as you don't give him any slack, that hook's not coming out. You stay tight on him. He's not getting loose.
And I don't know how many times you see these people have a big fish on, the fish will come up top, and they don't bow the rod down the water and reel him back down and let him jump off. You know, I like to let them jump just for people to see him, and I don't care if they get off. But if you're serious about catching them, when the fish comes to the top, you know, you drop the rod down the water.
Rod tip down. Yeah, you know, you always hear the time you're a little kid, keep that rod tip up, keep it up. But
keep that
if that
out
fish
of water,
starts going airborne,
out.
You put that rod tip on the water, man. Get him down.
That's it, buddy. And that's what's fun about, you know, not having a lead head. So it teaches you to keep that fish on. And then so it teaches you how to catch better fish without a barb on your lead head. It does.
Exactly.
And, you know, I was fishing with Doug Pike and his son a couple of years ago. And he crimped the lead head down on his son's, Christian's lead head. And I said, man, this is a big fish area, Pike. He catches a 28-inch trout with no barb, his son.
Yeah, I mean, well, he knows how to fish. You know,
he
just don't give the fish any slack.
He didn't give it no slack. He jumped and he dropped his rod tip and kept it down, and we got that 28-inch trout in. But that's good stuff right there. He'll remember that forever too, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like we got a lot more fish. You know, listen to Charlie. It seems like Matagorda has been a little bit off, but I think they'll pick up.
Oh, they're going through some lean times right now.
Yeah, I know it, man.
But you can't hit a fishery that size after a freeze, hit it as hard as it was getting hit there for a while and not do any damage to it, man.
I know, but doesn't Matagorda get a lot of tide runners in?
They usually do right behind us, but they hadn't received their offering yet. We're getting them. You're getting them. Louisiana's getting them.
I know it. And I'm walking down the jetties yesterday, and all these glass miners are getting blown off the top by snook, trout, ladyfish, just tons of bait coming in, like a feeding tube coming in the Laguna Madre. It's just awesome. I just love it. Packery has done so much, man.
It has.
And that's what I wish that all the fishermen to get together. And, hey, man, let's open up some paths and quit closing them. You know, it's good for everybody because it's good for the economy. We got a lot of fishermen down here, and, you know, it's not just for the fishermen. You start getting fishermen down here. Fishermen spend money, Mickey. They come down here and they rent motels.
They
go to your restaurant.
They boost the economy, man.
You know, and what else does Corpus have? Nothing. We got fishing.
Yeah, me and five of my buddies went to Rayburn this week and crappie fished for 2 days. We boosted the economy.
How was that?
Oh, that was
spent some money.
That was fun. That was fun. Yeah, we left a lot of money there for them.
There you go, man. Did you bring back a few crappie to eat?
Yeah, I did. It sure takes a lot of them to make a lot of fish, though. I mean, we caught a couple of hundred crappie in 2 days, and I think between six of us, we split them all up. After we cleaned them, we had a gallon apiece of fillets.
That's good meat right there, though. Man, that's
you
good
talk
stuff.
About. I forgot how good eating fish is till I ate one of those the other night. Incredible.
Oh man, I know it, man.
Kind of like you and that flounder.
Oh, my God. You know, I just, you know, all week long I'm throwing back fish, and thinking, man, I'm fish hungry. So on the weekend, I try to go get me a flounder or something off the rock so I can have some fried fish because, you know, I'm not taking much out of Laguna Madre. But now when the fish start getting in the surf a lot, if I catch me an 18, 19-incher on topwater and he's got a treble hook in his gill, guess what? He's coming home because I love those surf trout.
He's going in that easy bake oven, baby.
But it's just starting our water. Water clarity is great, man. Real good.
Well, I'm glad y'all are. I'm just really surprised at all the fish y'all have. You know, after that event. I mean, I know you guys are, and
We're blown away.
It's just like the Middle Coast right now is just not. It's not doing it yet, and they're having a tough time. You know, Rockport, Port O'Connor, Matagorda, but
I just. I'm blessed, I tell you, because I look back at all the pictures of the freeze, all the photos people sent me of all the dead fish back in Alazan, all over the place, land cut. And I'm going, oh my God, it's over. We had a lot of fish, Mickey.
Well,
we had a lot of fish.
You got to have a lot to be able to substantiate mm-hmm. that. When you kill that many, when you still got fish after that, you knew you had a lot of them.
And then what's left, we're feeding them like crazy. So the fish that are left is just, they got so much to eat, it's ridiculous. Just think how fast they're growing.
Well, that's nature's way of rebounding, you know?
Yep. You know, I'm seeing 9-inch trout, 10-inch trout. I'm hooking little bitty fingerling trout, little bitty things as big as your finger catching us. That's crazy
that's
how many
good.
Little fish we got in the system. All of a sudden, they showed up. You know, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks ago, very few little ones. All of a sudden, boom, we got another bunch that are big enough to hit a plastic now. So
that's
it's
awesome.
Great. And water clear tastes good. Not seeing any brown tide or anything coming up. So looking pretty good, Mickey. I think the future's going to be good down here.
Well,
so, man.
Let's hope for it. I mean, I hope mm-hmm. I want the whole coast to recover. I mean, it's what we do, bro.
I know it, man. I'm getting ready to go hang out and do a little surfing with my grandkids today and take a day off and enjoy this outdoor stuff, man. It's great.
Good for you, man.
I only return to the box of sleep.
All right. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming down to Corpus and hooking up with you, how do they get a hold of you, Cliff?
All right, Mickey Manerico, 361-949-0707. Thanks for having
me
on, Mickey.
Bud. Hey, thank you, and we appreciate you, man. You have a good time with your grandkids. All right, buddy.
I am, man. I am. Thank you, buddy.
I know you are. You got to love it. See you, bud.
All right.
That's Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi.
Hey, guys, y'all have a good one. Y'all sound good, and we're listening to you. So just continue on, guys. See you
later. All right, Tex. See you, brother. All right, man. Have a good day.
Continue on, man.
Continue on.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Oh, in the he tied to my boat. He tied Guy Fish's 18 Hydrosport, the bow line, to the back cleat of my Mako. And, I'm already hooked up and ready to go. We've been washing boats, and James had been using Guy's boat because his boat was shot, and he left it there. And I'm pulling out of the driveway that morning, and I'm going, man, something don't feel right. What is going on here?
I ain't kidding.
And I look back, and I'm pulling two boats down the driveway.
Is that funny or what?
Mickey Ray was like 6 or 7 years old. I'm going, man, he knows how to cleat off a boat, doesn't he? I can't believe that knot didn't come untied.
And waking up at 4 a.m. before the rooster starts to crow. If you want to hunt fish in Texas, better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already. It's hard to believe it has gone by so quick this morning. Goodness. All right. It is 6:39 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Lake Livingston to Pinwall Campground and Marina. Let's check in with our good friend Harry Detan. Harry, what's up, bud?
And hey, Mickey, look like we're going to have a nice day today.
It sure does.
I mean, y'all, I guarantee you, I'm looking right straight out at that lake, and it looks like a big old mirror out yonder.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of cloud cover up on top, but there might be a little bit of wind, but not very much. If it is, it's probably coming out of the south or southwest, something like that, but I can't tell it right here. But anyway, heck, everything's good here on Livingston. You know, I mean, we're right at normal pool on Livingston, and I think the release is around 3,500 cubic feet a second. So that's about normal for this time of the year. Fishing's been good. We've had another good week of fishing here on. Catfish are still a-going. White bass are going. So everything's kind of going pretty good and all, finally. And all, but been a lot of quite a bit of activity, especially early in the morning on these catfish. During the week, guys are going out and they're catching some nice catfish. Most of them rod and reel. Some of them setting out noodles and stuff. And,
right.
But most of them just fishing up against the bulkheads, and they're doing quite well. The whites are running real good, and I'm seeing a lot of bigger whites this year than what we normally see. I mean, yeah, there are there's a bunch of digs, but just go ahead and throw them back and catch a big one. But I've seen some nice,
Well, they've been, running kind of small the last couple of years, and they're a lot bigger. I've been seeing some good pictures of some solid whites, some good-sized ones.
They're nice. They really are. So, well, anyway, so everything's kicking along pretty good. It sure is. Just kind of laying back, getting ready for the holiday coming up.
Yep, and Memorial Day right around the corner, man.
I guarantee. Hey, Mikkel, I went out and I bought about 6 dozen paddles and all for the holiday. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to 4-foot gas in their boat, so I thought maybe I'd sell a paddle and paddle around that.
Well, I'm telling you. What's your fuel running at the dock right now?
I don't even want to say, Mickey. It's so high you can't hardly climb with the ladder. It's crazy. I guarantee you it hurts me to pump it out. It really does. But there's nothing I can do anything better. But we're getting real close to $6 a gallon, and that's non-ethical.
Well, that's not too bad for dockside. Over in Louisiana, I'm hearing higher prices than that at dock.
Really?
And
they're
yeah.
closer to the refinery than what we are. But
yeah.
Heck, we're selling 93 octane non-ethanol fuel. And it's
that's
a good
even
fuel.
Better.
There's nothing wrong with it. But it is, I tell you what, we topped off our tanks here the other day, and the first indication that I got is the driver come in, and he said, I want you to know this is the highest load of fuel I've ever delivered. And I said, well, that, I don't know if that's an honor or not, So I went on down the road, and I called the girl the next day to pay for the fuel, and I said something about the price, and she said, Harry, you bought it just right. I said, what do you mean? She said, it went up 11 cents more this morning, and I said,
goodness.
My God, it's crazy, it just keeps going, I don't know. It's got to quit one of these days, or I think we're all going to quit. But I had one guy call me there the other day, and he needed something. And in the conversation, he said, it's costing me about $600 a month in diesel fuel to drive to work and back. And I said, well, that's not good. It sure isn't. But anyway, fishing's been good. The lake's in good shape. Everything, has finally kind of came into place. So maybe we should have a good weekend. We had a good weekend last week. We had a good week overall this past week. So.
It was pretty up there this week.
It was.
Me and a bunch of my buddies went over and fished Rayburn for crappie.
And don't do any good.
Yeah, we did. It was real good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Monday was a little windy. It made it kind of tough,
yeah.
But we still caught them. A lot of throwbacks on Monday, and I still think, it was every three you'd catch, you'd have two throwbacks, but we still had 90-something really nice ones, some pretty good slabs. Now, on Tuesday it was calm. We didn't catch hardly any throwbacks, maybe 20 or 30. The rest of them were all big.
Yeah. I saw some crappie come in the other day, it was a long ways from 90-some-odd crappie, but, he probably had, 8 to 12 crappie in his box, and he had some nice crappie. There was some 14, 15-inch crappie in there. They were nice. They really was.
Those are good ones.
I think he had culled them a long way. And wound up with that. That was all he was going to keep. But that was a nice fish to crappie. I saw another guy come in. Now, he didn't catch crappie, but him and his grandson went out and they had a nice big box of really nice whites and catfish. It was all mixed up, but it was some nice fish and all. It really was. So things are doing pretty good. You know, I mean, this is a good time of the year to go fishing. I mean, I can't think of a better time than right now. But
it is nice.
It's pretty nice, you know. We can kind of get on by here and not have a hurricane blowing in on us or something like that. We'll be all right.
I know. They're already talking about some kind of tropical development could be possible for next weekend.
I hope not.
Good Lord.
I mean, is it that time of the year, Mickey, it's just supposed to be plain old hot, and that's it, and all.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It is hot, but we certainly don't need that. But I'm sitting here looking at the weather map of Texas right now, and the only cloud is on the far eastern side of the state, and the rest of the state's pretty clear up through there, and all.
Right.
It's dry.
Are y'all real dry up there right now?
Oh, we're dry as a bone. We're dry as our bone, I guarantee you. I mean, well, we hooked up our water trailer there yesterday and went watering some new trees that we had set out. I mean, because it has gotten so dry, you know. And I mean,
right.
We're just sitting there cooking, and we got, a couple of inches of rain, a week or so ago. And,
yeah, but it was so dry then, it just drank it up, man.
It just soaked it right up. I mean, just like we didn't get a rain. But we can certainly use it and all. But you know, right now, you know, a person want to go fishing, these white bass and catfish right now are the ticket. I mean, they sure are. Sure can. I mean,
yeah, that's going on at Lake Houston, Conroe, your lake, you know, even Rayburn. Boy, I never seen so many trot lines in all my life. Guys had a lot of trot lines set out in Rayburn.
You know, Mickey, we was talking about that here a week or so ago, me and another guy. But, you know, Livingston used to be covered up in trot lines. And if Livingston has anything, it's got catfish. I mean, it's got a lot of catfish.
Yeah, it does.
But I mean, you couldn't go anywhere over in Livingston unless running into a trot line. But, you know, in the last few years, all them trot lines have disappeared. I mean, there is still a few trot lines.
Yeah.
But people have, instead of setting trot lines, they've gone to floating these jugs.
Yeah.
And they'll float the jugs, which is fine, you know. But you just, you know, when I first came down here a long, long time ago, there used to be, I bet you, a half a dozen old men in this campground. That's all they live for is running trot line. But you know, everybody's passed away,
that's too much work for the new crowd.
It is. It's easier to bait up a jug and throw it out in the water and watch it float around a little bit and pick it up and say, "Ooh, it ain't biting. Let's go home." You know. I know there were several winters a long time we'd run them lines and sell fish and stuff like that, but I guarantee you, we'd do most of ours starting last October, November, when the water got cool. But there ain't nothing like going down on them line. You look out about 30 foot out in front of you and see a big old swirl down yonder, and you know you got something good fixing to happen. But we always carried like a gallon jug with a little old cord on it. We'd just get up a little closer and just clip that jug to it, turn that jug loose, sit back and wait a little bit. That jug would take all the fight right out of that fish, and you can just handle him like a baby, put him on in the boat. But
I remember hearing stories of old timers. They'd get on one end of the trot line, and they could tell you what hook, what size fish it had on it, and everything else down the line. Said, "Ooh, it feels like we got a turtle on one of them."
Right, they sure can. I mean, them old men. I mean, that's they rather do that than anything. And shoot, I guarantee you. I mean, you talk about a trot liner. I mean, one of my friends, he's a launch out. His name is Flick Pick Bland, but you want a legendary fisherman, old Pick Bland, I guarantee you, there ain't nothing that guy doesn't know how to do. Pick's getting pretty close to 80, and he's still running lines, but he can do it any way you want to do it. He sure can, and has done all of it, one and all. I think he's run trot lines on this lake ever since there was a lake, I guess.
Right.
I don't know how long, lots and lots of years, but he's definitely a good trot liner. And there's a few times he'll get skunked, you know, but not that often. He comes back in bringing fish just about every day. So, anyway.
What about, you hear anything on bass fishing right now?
Yeah, they're kind of hit and miss. You know, I'm not seeing any really good fish coming in, at least coming in out here in this creek here. And I'm not hearing any of the guys talking about really good fish, but they're just kind of so-so. They haven't gone this year like in between. You know, the crappie wasn't real good here on Livingston this year, and the bass, black bass, wasn't real hot. So on Livingston, I mean, they're there to catch, but both species was just, they never did peak like they normally do, and all. But the white bass and the catfish are going great, and crappie. You know, we never did have what we call a real good run on crappie this year. I mean, we caught some crappie without a doubt, but normally in the springtime we'll get a good month. The crappie fishing will be really good. Mm-hmm. We didn't get it, and normally, if you had a time to fish on black bass, you'd pick I'd pick about the 15th of February,
right.
It happened, but it was a soft happening. I guarantee you, it just wasn't a hard running thing and all. A lot of these guys, I guarantee you now, with these live scopes,
yeah,
there's several that I know now. I can go out on the lake today, and they'll bring back some nice crappie. But it's nothing like you'll see on Rayburn. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rayburn's got crappie growing at your ears, but they can take those live scopes and they can go come back with a nice mess of crappie.
Oh, that's why. That's why we fish with Randy. I learned a lot about that watching how he approached these brush piles and, you know, reading the fish off of them, and he never would hit them hard. We'd just move on, you know, fish one, move on, instead of, you know, sitting there and just cleaning a bed off, you know.
Randy Dearman?
Yeah, he's I really like him. He's a great guy.
I've known him a long time. You know, him and old Slade, they pulled up here one morning. We was having a white bass tournament. This is a lot of years ago. And, you know, we'd have a little old boat check and everything. And anyway, Randy and Slade, they come up and they want to get their boat check. And I said, open them side pockets on that boat, right? And he said, why? And I said, well, you know, I got to look in there. He said, you know what's in there? I said, yeah, I know. You probably got 40 rods stuff down in there. And I said, there's only two per person to the boat. I said, you're gonna have to unload them. He looked at me so funny. I said, you know how the rules go, right? Yeah, I know how the rules go. You know.
All right, Harry. Hey, buddy, I'm out of time, but if somebody wants to call you, give them some info up there.
Just call us up here at Pinwall, and that number is 936-967-4752.
All right, buddy. Well, Harry, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Take care, bud.
All right. Take care.
See you, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Harry Detan up at Pinwall Campground and Marina. Unfortunately, that's all the time for today's show, but we'll be back in the morning at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610. KILT Houston.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.